Alaikum warahmatullah, everybody. This is Kalisha Bennett, the host for today for the Deep Discussions podcast. It's beautiful to have you all here. The Deep Discussions podcast is a podcast dedicated to having the important conversations and the important discussions in life with everyday people in the community, as well as people who are prominent figures. And, you know, too often in life, we are settling for having more surface level discussions and more surface level conversations, and we tend to become distracted by those surface conversations. And what we hope to do with this podcast, with myself and Rosalind De Bono, my co-host, is to bring forward some of the important topics that we have happening in our lives and within our community, and tend to them and open them up unashamedly, and to be able to, inshallah, get to the core of a lot of the issues that we face in life and bring light and bring voice to some areas that are often overlooked. So the Deep Discussions podcast is an offshoot, or it stemmed from the Deep Discussions cards, which is a set of conversational cards that we put together to help facilitate people, families, friends in having deeper conversations rather than surface level futile topics. So you know, you come together, use the cards, and discuss and answer the different prompts and questions that are on them. So if you want to get your hands on one of these, send us a message or have a look at the link in our bio. So today I have a very special guest. She's based in Western Australia, and she's one of my my dearest friends. And, you know, I started off as her mentor, and she was one of the volunteers in our youth group, and a member of our youth group. And it didn't take long before she became my mentor in many things, alhamdulillah. So today we have my sister Alia Abdi, and she is an advocate for people with disabilities. And she's currently studying her diploma in community services, which I'm pretty sure she's very close to finishing. So we're looking forward to getting to know a lot more about her and having a conversation today about connection, about community, about importance of supporting those who are perhaps overlooked within the community, and a whole bunch of other topics, inshallah. So I'd like to welcome my beautiful sister and friend, Alia. Assalamu alaikum, Alia. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm
Alright, Alia, do you want to start off with telling us a little bit about yourself? Like, when you have to introduce yourself to different communities, audiences, or individuals you meet along the way, and they want to know, like, who are you? Tell me about yourself. Tell us about yourself.
So I'm a student. Like Kalisha said, I'm studying in diploma community services. I like to call myself a self-advocate because of my, you know, my disability, things like that, my experiences. So yeah, just a self-advocate. I'm just trying to make my way into making sure that society is more inclusive for people with disabilities. In particular, CALP communities, and just trying to ensure that they integrate into society, and things like that. So my, you know, just as a nutshell, I'm very much all about that. I will be graduating this year, inshallah. So I'm hoping to get into that field, and just to make sure that, you know, it's more like, you know, people with disability often have other people speak to it for them, but rather than having their own voices amplified into these spaces. So just ensuring that that's, you know, that's more, I guess, more happening within our communities, inshallah.
Yeah. So you've stepped up to the plate to be that amplification of voice from the people who are in the community who might have disabilities. And on top of that, you said the CALD communities. For anyone who doesn't know what a CALD community member is, it's a culturally and linguistically diverse sector of the community. So you're representative of a minority within a minority. Is that right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
right.
So rather than having other people speak on their behalf, for example, me going out and saying, oh, here's some of the needs of those in the community who have disabilities or those from the cult community. Rather, you are someone from within that community with a lived experience who is giving voice to the needs, to the issues, to the struggles, and to I guess the worries and the rights that might be overlooked from that sector of the community. So it's very important that it comes from inside. Like you mentioned that rather inside, from inside the community, that voice comes rather than outside. What do you feel is the most important part of being from within your sector of the community speaking out as opposed to an external narrative?
Well, there's a quote that says, having inclusion isn't just about having a seat at the table, but rather having that voice at the table. And so it's really all about, making sure that your lived experiences aren't like covered by other perceptions and what people think and how they think you should live your life in a certain way or how you should feel or, shaping your experiences. Sorry, what was the question again? I'm very forgetful.
That's okay. So the importance of it coming from the voice coming from within your community as opposed to an external voice.
It all goes back to my main point, which is because of that lived experience. And having that, I've got a lot of friends who come from the disability community, some from the cult, some without. And it's just important because that sometimes there are aspects that people without disabilities tend to miss, and that can't be covered unless you've got that lived experience. I've got a good friend of mine whose name is Andrew, and he runs a campaign. He runs a campaign called "This Is My Bay," and so he's an amputee, and his campaign runs, is about the people parking in disability parking if they don't have a disability and things like that. And even if it's for like a small convenience, like you're just gonna go quick to the shop, you're gonna come out. But that bag, he says that bag can make someone's day. So for him as an amputee, he needs that. He may not look like he has a disability, but he needs that. So there are many aspects that aren't really, I guess, aren't seen from the wider community, from the people in our community within disability. So, well, when I say our community, I mean the disability community. So that's very important that we actually show, the outer communities about some of our, I guess, struggles and stuff, and that might not be seen as a big deal, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Alia. All right, so Alia, we're talking to you on the Deep Discussions podcast, and a big part of why we want to have deep discussions with our families, friends, and community is with the intended goal of connection. If I was to ask you, what does connection mean to you and how important it is to you, what are your thoughts on that?
I think connection's important because we're already almost like ostracized from all sorts of communities and things like that because of our, I guess, disabilities, visible or not. And it means just having to be part of that chain, being part or feeling like you're part of a community without, without those, without having to be reminded that you're different, because we're pretty much aware of the fact that we're different and we have those challenges every day from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep. So it just means, being part of that. It also means, just, just asking other people with disabilities and how we could better cater for them or what we could do. And sometimes that's not a lot. So yeah, there's just it all comes down to asking. I think, yeah, it's just people need to remember it's okay to ask questions, and how they can better facilitate for us in those spaces.
So how have you felt, Alia, in your journey growing up with disability and being, from the CALD community? How have you felt with regards to the levels of connection you were able to get with other people and the depth of connection?
Probably very surface levels, and I think that's because people see the disability before they see the person, and that idea that people tend to tiptoe around you, which isn't a nice feeling because you can actually feel it, and when people are tiptoeing around you or when they you just feel isolated because people don't put into consideration that just because you have a disability does not mean, you're not prone to any feelings. And so, I think one of the biggest challenges are actually, I guess, being left behind. And I don't know about you, but I don't know anyone that likes to be left behind. So, yeah, it's just that feeling of constant fear of trying to keep up, but also being left behind. So, yeah, it's a everyday challenge that we as people with disabilities are trying to navigate, and we don't really have the answers for, but we're doing the best we can.
Yeah, so the struggle with not wanting to be left behind as well as not wanting to be left out as well, right? Not, being left out of feeling included and like you're included in a group, a social group, within society, within your religious community. So that feeling of worrying about, yes, not being able to keep up. Like I remember you told me about school and the school having issues with you not finishing your exam papers in time, but you weren't able to write as quickly as the other kids, and they refused to give you extra time to complete your exams, and how is that fair in the first place? It's ridiculous. But also that feeling of social exclusion and being left out and wanting to know where is my place. I do a lot of work in the community, in public schools and private schools, around New South Wales and around Australia, and we address the issue with kids and their sense of belonging and the struggle with feeling different, and because they're different, they feel like they don't belong, or they're made to feel as well that they don't belong. So it's a massive barrier when it comes to this goal and this want and need for humans to have solid and strong and deep connections. Who did you have in your younger years, Alia, or up to this point? What were some important points of connection around you that you felt were really solid sources of support in your journey growing up? Like what connection were you able to find that really fueled you and was a place for you to lean on in challenging times or when you weren't feeling so good?
Well, I do divide it into little categories. So I had friends like you, and Jazakallah for that. And you really helped to bring a light about disability and things like that. So it was definitely having you and a few other sisters that I could connect with and things like that. But and it just meant I know a lot of people, but it's not about knowing a lot of people. I think it's about who you connect with. And also I also, whenever I felt ostracized or felt left out, as soon as I went to therapy or physio, OT or whatever at, the center, it felt like I belonged because everyone there, well, for starters, everyone that had a disability, everyone is there for with for the one purpose, which is therapy. And so it just felt so wholesome to feel so being part of that little community. And so having that and going to that once a week felt like, I'm gonna go see our community again. And none of us are judging each other because we're all there for the same reason, you know what I mean? And it really feels like, oh wow, so this is what it must feel like, not having a disability and you know, belonging and not having to struggle with, you know, a sense of belonging or having to overly explain, you know, yourself. So it really helped. I mean, apart from my, you know, my friendship groups, I think that really gave me a real sense of belonging, alhamdulillah, and still does. Yeah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, that's good. So when it comes to your connection with people that you've established over the years, and obviously some connections might have been surface level and passing, and others might have established depth and established a strong foundation and strong roots. What do you think is the difference between those two dynamics, where you have people who come and pass by, and then those who stay, or those who you establish depth with? How, what do you think are key factors in having a deeper connection with another human being for you? What have you noticed and felt when it came to like, wow, this person is someone I want to keep in my life, keep in my heart? What was the difference between that and people who pass by?
That's a very good question. I think you just feel it, and I think people forget that that you can actually you've got that social understanding to feel. And I feel like a lot of people thought that I didn't get that, but you know, I get that. And a lot of the times that meant like, you know, a lot of people would just like we'll throw a pity party, you know, and they're like, oh, that girl with a disability, let's just be friends with her and things like that. And there are other people that were so genuine, and that were just so wholesome, and those are the ones that actually, you know, lasted for a very long time. So yeah, it's just I can tell, I can really tell when there's, you know, someone's throwing a pity party and someone's very genuine about it. Yeah.
So, is it unspoken ways that you're able to tell, or are there little things that people show or express that make you feel like, no, that one's a sincere one?
Yeah, it's really that unspoken, really. I can't pinpoint it. Like I can't pinpoint it, but there's definitely an indication as to when I can tell it's genuine. Like there's just a kind of way. I honestly can't pinpoint it, but there's a big difference between when it's genuine and there's no generality in it. 'Cause I've had a lot of people who've had befriended me or had, you know, communicated with me, and then only to find out that they were doing it to reach a certain status or to better their I don't know, like their business, or you know, to make themselves like, oh look, we're inclusive and things like that, but it wasn't genuine. And then there's other people that were on the other extreme, so it was lovely. It's lovely to know the difference.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. I want to ask you about the topic of dignity and tell me what you think about the concept of dignity. And if you have anything in your memory stores that you'd like to share, that you feel comfortable to share, an example of when you felt you weren't treated with dignity, and an example when you did feel like you were treated with dignity. So, what does dignity mean to you? And then a couple of examples of the two opposites.
Wow, that's a really deep question.
It's called Deep Discussions for a reason, Ali. I'm sorry. I should have primed you, poor girl. But you speak from the heart anyway. It's always a deep dive with
That's okay. No, that's fine. That's what I've expected.
us.
Dignity, honestly, just for me, anyways, means a lot of like, just, you know, being treated as a human being, really, first and foremost. And not, because often I find people when they speak to me, not always, but there are people that when they speak to me, it is as if they're talking to my disability,
It's a very, very different way of like it's, I don't know how to explain it again, but it just means like treating this person with the respect that they require regardless of their disability. And I know that, you know, in society we look at statuses and what a person has and, you know, their medical conditions or whatever, but it's, I think we always tend to forget that at the end of the day, like when you boil it down to the core, that we're all human and that we all feel. And that you know, just because someone has a disability, that doesn't mean that, you know, they're less of a human or, and, you know, and things like that. So, you know, there's been times when I felt like, you know, people have really ripped, you know, me to the point where I felt like there was no, there was no treatment of dignity there. Like it was just like, you know, whether it was like, you know, people that meant well or education, like back in education, and they'll just talk down to you. And I know that I speak about that in, we speak a lot about that in my diploma class. It's like people will like speak to you as if you're a 2-year-old, and it's
Wow.
like, you know, like, yeah, I have a disability, but that doesn't really, that doesn't, it doesn't, I don't know, it's just very
And
weird.
how would a 2-year-old be studying a diploma in community services, right? It doesn't make sense. Like, you know, I guess they assume the level of disability, you know, or the type of disability as being intellectual. You found that that's a common misconception, yeah? That
Yeah,
you've
there's
seen
a
people
lot.
see physical disability as also intellectual
Automatically.
disability
Yeah, it's an
automatically.
automatic thing. I remember because I'm doing my diploma in like quarters. So it's been a couple of years, but I'm so excited to leave it, inshallah. I think the whole department is like throwing a massive like excitement party the fact that I finished. But I remember when I first started, I had someone in my class who was I it, 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 he was an interesting human, let's just say. And he, I remember he said to me one day, he's like, "Oh my God, like you actually, she actually knows English." And like, and he's like, "I thought you were disabled." I was like, "Oh, mate." So I turned around to him and I was like, "Listen, mate, didn't exactly know. I don't know if you thought that I just dropped from the just the roof over there, but there's a reason
Yeah.
why, you know, I'm in this class." So he was a bit taken back. And then he was like, "Oh, she can talk back as well." So it's just, you know, people forget that, you know, you're a human, and they put all that dignity to aside and just treat you like, you know, like you're just like rep, like pebbles, really. So it's just this constant, it gets really tiring after a while to constantly just let people know, like to let them ensure that they treat you with, you know, the respect and dignity you deserve. So, yeah.
Constantly having to like prove yourself as being constantly trying to prove yourself as being someone who deserves the same type of respect and dignity as any other person in society. Like, stop overlooking me, stop downplaying me, stop, you know,
Yeah.
underestimating me. Lona Lona says Muslims have so much to answer for. Humans in general, instead of addressing these major issues, we're stuck on mashura decisions for the most mundane and lame things. Hanadi says, "You're so inspiring." Istahil says, "Mashallah, those smiles. She had a good laugh when you laughed when I asked you that tricky question." Inshallah. So, Ali, I want to ask you about what are your goals and hopes community-wise? What do you hope and intend for the community, whether it's the Muslim community, the community with disabilities, or just wider society when it comes to your vision and your heart's hopes? Because obviously we all have different things we hope and wish for our community, but no doubt you've got some in the forefront of your heart and mind that you hope to either make an impact in or be a part of or continue working in. What is that for you, Alia?
Well, there's a lot, I guess, but I think the main thing is, you know, trying my best like create that inclusive space, and always trying to, you know, because I know that there are probably young people with disabilities that look up without me realizing. So it's always one putting my foot once, you know, one ahead of the other, and, you know, being part of those decision making processes so that, you know, other people without disabilities don't make those decisions for us. And some of that for me at the moment includes, you know, sitting on boards and just, organization boards, and just, you know, ensuring that their services, really cater to those with disabilities, and that they really have the right intentions and, you know, the right philosophies and things like that. So, you know, like, my hope really is that we, you know, we look at people with disabilities as, you know, just people, really, and that, you know, we live in a world where we don't have to constantly fight for our place, and we just let people be, and we can all learn from each other, because I think, you know, just try to learn from, you know, you learn from me, I will learn from you. So it's, you know, it's a learning space. And I think, you know, without disability in our world, I think it would be a very boring place. You know, and I don't say that because I have a disability, but I think, you know, even with me, with my disability, I learn from other people with other different disabilities. So it's all about learning and connecting the best way we know how. Yeah.
And ultimately loving too, because as you learn about these different people and discover the beautiful souls that they have within them, you love other people despite all these differences and despite all these, these opposites to what we know and what we're comfortable with, you know. We've got to remove, I think, the discomfort around being in the company of those who are different to us, whether it's by belief or culture or race or ability, to be comfortable in that space. You know, look at the world that we're living in. I'm pretty sure there's, you know, enough space, and there's enough room for us to move around each other and enjoy each other's company. And Ali, I'm just going to ask you a couple of yes or no questions. All right. Do you feel like the Muslim community provide enough inclusive spaces for those with disabilities?
No.
Do you believe that our mosques are inclusive enough in terms of the openness to the congregation of people having disabilities?
No.
Do you believe that our schools provide enough support for those with disabilities, our Muslim schools?
No.
Okay, this isn't going well. Do you... Yeah, let's try to get some yeses from you.
Yeah.
Do you believe that we have enough people in our community who care enough about these issues to make that change?
I think so. There's a lot.
The up and coming next generation, I think, will change things.
Yeah.
That's good. Good to know. All right. So I'm going to ask you a question from our Deep Discussions card set. I'm going to pick a random card.
Get easier, Kalisha.
I'll go easy. Well, I already smashed you with the questions so far. I've asked some hard ones. And you spoke off the cuff. This is what I mean, people. This is why she's a public speaker and an advocate, because she's just like, give me a seat at the boardroom table. She's ready to go. Like, she's just ready. MashaAllah. Tabarakallah. All right. Are you ready, Alia? Your question or your statement to complete is, an important character trait to have is...
Important character trait? I'm letting your tongue twist. Authenticity.
Yeah. Authenticity.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you've just, you know, being true to who you are, and not, you know, the world often, you know, makes it seem as if you have to change, you know, who you are, or you have to, I guess, trim it down who you are. And it's just important to be, you know, to be true to yourself, your values and not water yourself down just to fit in, because I did that for years. And like, as I get older, I came to a conclusion that it's just important to be myself. And, you know, there's that go with the flow. And there's that not meant to be part of your journey. So, yeah, it's good to be authentic.
Authentic. Yeah. I love that, mashallah. Before I ask you your last question, Alia, how can people reach you if they want to reach out with a question or support or ideas, or for you to advocate for them perhaps? How can they reach you?
Just on my Instagram or my Facebook, Alia Addi, and I can get back to anyone. I'm more than happy to discuss. I'm really interested in, you know, talking to especially parents with kids with disabilities, because I know how, you know, difficult it is to navigate that. But I just want to, you know, be there for them and reassure them that it will be okay despite how the world might convince them otherwise. Yeah, so Facebook.
Beautiful. Thank you, Alia. And final question is, can you please share with us some final words for our audience about being connected at a deeper level and speaking to each other and being there for each other at a deeper level? What are some points of advice that you have?
Get to know the person without having to, I guess, you know, that old saying that goes, don't judge a book by its cover. It's important to, you know, treat people with dignity, and really get to know someone for who they are, without, you know, letting society, you know, without the societal labels, get to know people for how they are. And you might learn a thing or two. It's not to say that you might get along with them. You might not, because that's humans. But, you know, just get to know people for who they are and don't see them as the girl with the cerebral palsy or the boy with autism, or you know what it is. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Alia. I want to thank you for giving us your time and for having this beautiful conversation with us and sharing some of your experiences and thoughts and wisdom and knowledge on this topic, and allowing us to have this deep dive into connection, community, living with disability, and the importance of inclusion and belonging. I just want to acknowledge everything that you do and have done, and inshallah will continue to do in our communities locally and worldwide. Inshallah, I think you've got a bright future ahead of you, especially once you finish the studies. It's almost like your roots are already planted in your direction before you even finished, or I think before you even started your studies, I could see like the skills going somewhere, you know. So it's been beautiful to be a part of your journey and to watch your journey. And on behalf of the community, I want to apologize for anything that, for any of your rights that maybe haven't been fulfilled by our community. And to anyone who's listening who maybe has a disability as well and feels hurt or disregarded or neglected by the rest of the community, we ask your forgiveness. You know, this is something that isn't done. And it's important that you hear that from us, Alia, and that you, the rest of the those with disabilities in our community hear it. And please tell us how we can better serve you and serve your needs, because you have more rights to that than any of us. And we're here, inshallah, with love and humility. And I think so long as we can keep having these connections and conversations with each other, and for our kids and the next generation to grow up more connected to every sector of the community, as much of the community as possible, then inshallah things will be better and we will have better support and a better state of well-being, both mental, emotional, spiritual and physical, inshallah. Thank you, Alia. I love you.
Jazakallah khair, and Ali Klisha. Jazakallah for allowing me to be on this platform and to share the little knowledge that I have, and, you know, to always making sure that, you know, your spaces are inclusive. So I think you are a massive role model for other people as well, to show that it doesn't take a lot to include people with disabilities. So Jazakallah khairan for being the light for us. Jazakallah. Thank you so much for everyone. For the support.
Thank you, Alia.
Jaden. It was a lovely chat, and I hope you guys all have a blessed Jumu'ah, and they'll accept from us. Amen.
Amen, Ya Rab. Amen. Thank you, Alia. For our listeners, please feel free to check out some of our past episodes on your favorite podcast platform or here on Instagram. You can also watch the videos of my IG live recordings, or you can listen to the audio of Revert Reflections with Sister Rosalind, who's the host of that segment of our podcast, which will be our next episode out next week with another amazing revert from our community. Be sure to subscribe or follow us on social media, inshallah. And if you don't already have one, get your hands on a set of the Deep Discussions card so that if you feel shy or awkward, you can turn having a deep discussion into a game, into a lighthearted activity which allows you to go deep, inshallah. So thank you everybody for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. See you, Aliyah. Bye.